Okay, there's a lot to talk about in Maharba Fukosai, a lot of different themes. Of course, the very first theme is Shemitah. I just took one little piece from what Rav Hirsch has to say about Shemitah. Parak Chaf Hei, Pasuk Vav, so the Torah says, let's just take a look at the Pasuk. Pasuk begins, right, the resting of the land will be for you to eat the food, but equally, everybody's equal. You, your slaves, animals, everybody has equal rights to the food. Let's describe the laws of Shvius. Yesh behem yishum maisa hodosh ein kamo lasagav. So it's a maisa of thanks that there's nothing like it. Uma shlema, an entire nation, machriza b'meshach shana tmima, an entire nation screams out to the world over the course of an entire year, b'sado seha, v'karka oseha, b'gino seha, Uvichrei disha'ea b'chol pri v'chol esev. Ad masenu ha'le'umis hi la'Hashem. Our national homeland belongs to God. V'anachtu rak gerim v'toshavim imo. Such an important lesson. That, you know, a person goes home, he sees he's got a big house. You know, he's got fancy stuff in the house. For 1 year, your property, you think you're so... You think you're so great, you have like fields and fields and fields and property and property. For 1 year, you can't touch it. You can't use it, you can't touch it. The whole nation screams out, we're only passing through on this earth. If a person has the attitude that we're only passing through, he doesn't get all excited about all his properties and all his, you know, all his material possessions, right? It becomes a lot easier to give tzedakah. If a person has the perspective on life that whatever Hashem gave me, this is just, you know, it's just like a pikadon. It's just like, you know, you're here for a little while. It's not like you're not supposed to get all excited. We're only like gerim. We're only like gerim. We're only like passing through. You know, Hashem, we're just the person's not supposed to get so excited about all his own possessions and get all haughty about himself. Look what I made. Look what I did. This is Hashem gave. If you have the attitude that it's not yours, that it's Hashem's, it's a lot easier to give tzedakah. It's a lot easier to, because you realize, okay, Hashem gave some people more, he gave some people less, and the goal is for the people who have more to help out the people who have less. Below rum levav, uvelo gavas rechush, without a haughty heart, and without arrogance of possessions, hem mitztarfen b'shivyon zechuyos al ani adam. Right, for 1 year, the rich people and the poor people are equal. Nobody has more than anybody else. Everyone's allowed to go into anybody's field and take whatever they want, whenever they want. And even the animals. The niskav Hashem levado bayomahu, says of Hirsch. The Shemitah is to remind us, it's the great equalizer. It's the great equalizer. It's to remind us that just because one guy has more, one guy has less, everybody's equal in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'niskav Hashem levado bayamahu. God is elevated by himself on that day. That's a quote of a pasuk, obviously, but it means for that year. For that whole year, we show that our material possessions, it's not ours. It's not. We're not supposed to get all arrogant about what we own. We're all equal in a certain respect. And if Hashem gives one person more, one person less, the goal is that it should be equivalent, it should be equal. That's what Shemitah is trying to teach you. For 1 year, you can't touch it. It's equal. Now, he takes pains other places to say that Judaism does not believe in socialism or communism. That's not what Shemitah is about. It's not like everybody's equal. It's the opposite. He says that Hashem is trying to invest each of us individually with the money that we made, the money that's ours, to look to be able to give it. It's not mandated. It's not mandated. It's not a mandated socialism. It's Hashem's trying to encourage us to be good, to take our own possessions and give. Not that it's he takes pains to talk about that as well. Now the Torah also talks about, there's a beautiful pasuk about onas devarim and onas mammon. I just always like to speak about that. Onas devarim, especially when you work in a high school, that's one of the topics that you talk about all the time. But it's not just about kids, it's about adults also. The pasuk seems to equate onas devarim and onas mammon. Perek Chaf Hei, first pasuk Yudalid, on page 368, so you have v'chisim k'rumim kol amisech. If you sell something to somebody, al ta'onim, you can't overcharge. You can't overcharge. Right? B'mispar shanim, l'fi rov ha'shanim ta'abem ingaso. And then the next pasuk is v'lo sonu ish samiso. So there's an implicit that you can't verbally abuse. The word ona'a has two connotations. There's onas mamon and onas devarim. Onas mamon is overcharging. Onas devarim is verbal abuse. Now, Rav Hirsch is asking an implied question over here. It's very nice that the same word ona'a applies to these two things. But what do these two things have to do with each other? At first glance, these two things seem to have absolutely nothing to do with each other. One of them is overcharging. One of them is verbally abusing somebody. What do they have to do with each other? Says Rav Hirsch, they do have something to do with each other. Yesh tzad shava bein onas devarim bein onas mamon. There is an equivalent between verbal abuse and monetary abuse. Good morning, Reb Nissen. Good morning.
Good morning.
In both of them, the one causing the onah is exploiting the weakness of his friend to his detriment. Eschoser b'kiyuso b'tivas chora. He's either exploiting his lack of knowledge in price, right? Overcharging. Right? You ever wonder how people get taken for a ride all the time? That people just get overcharged and stuff? Like, don't you know like what this thing costs? Apparently, no. Not everybody knows. You look into something. You think it's worth X. It's really worth Y. And you don't know. That's called ona. That's an issur d'oraisa. To overcharge somebody on that. That's the pasuk. O es regishuso hanavshis. Or you're taking advantage of someone's sensitivities. V'chamuro nas tvarim onas mamon. If I would ask you, which is worse? To overcharge somebody? To take money away from somebody that's inappropriate, you're overcharging, or to verbally abuse somebody? You would tell me for sure, overcharging somebody is worse. Says the Torah, no, it's not true. It's not true. The Gemara says it's not true. Why? Chamura onas tvarim onas mamon. Sherezeb gufo v'zeb mamono. One of them you're getting at the person's self-esteem, his whole value, his whole self-worth. V'zeb mamono. Unfortunately, when you work in schools, so you see this very, very clearly about how a kid would much rather somebody take away his money than to take away his self-esteem, his worth, his value. V'zeh nitan le'shama, one could be returned. V'zeh lo nitan le'shama, one can't really be returned. Amru chachamim, kol amal b'pnei chaveiro b'rabim ki'ilu shofich damim, right? If we make fun of somebody, take away somebody's self-esteem, it's like killing. Od amru kol yardum genem olum chutz mishloshesh yovein olum le'lein. So just an interesting ha'ara about why the same word ona'a applies to onas dvar, onas mamon. They don't seem to be the same at all, but Rav Hirsch says the common denominator is they're both taking advantage. We have to be very, very careful about who we take advantage of and how we take advantage of them. Oh, let's continue. Perek Yud Ches. So what are we talking about over here? We're talking about... Let's take a look in the Chumash. Chaf Hei Yud Ches. This is sort of like a summary pasuk, right? We just finished talking about Shemitah, Yovel, Ona'a, Onas Devarim, Onas Mamon. Then the Torah gives like a culminating pasuk. Va'asisem eschukosai, ve'es mishpatai, tishmeru, va'asisem osam, v'yishavtim al ha'aretz levetach. If we keep these laws, we're going to live in Eretz Yisrael with security. Now, Rav Hirsch points out something here that towards the end, that I think is very, very clear, very, very fascinating. I never noticed. And again, the next pasuk, "V'nasnaharetz piryah v'achaltem lasova." Your eating will be lasova v'yishavtem lavetach aleha, and your dwelling in there will be security. Interesting formulation. Let's see what he has over here. Hapasuk hakodem, he says a maskana min harayon she'aretz knuya l'Hashem. Right, the land belongs to Hashem. Rayon's out of em hilchos shmita v'yovachayvus buses l'chol maaseh umatan. The fact that the land belongs to Hashem, this has to be the foundation of all business. V'hapasuk hakodem yisikim menu es hamaskana yishiyo biyachas chay adam chavero. V'zeh rayon v'vom pesukim haboyim biyachas l'chol chay ha'yochad v'ha'am. HaTorah makira rak derech achas shel kni el Hashem. The Torah recognizes only one way of subjugating yourself to Hashem. Lasos es ritzono ben amanos. Ochein artso tia artzenu. His land will be our land. Rak im nishmoras torasso ben amanos. Again, Rav Hirsch has stressed this idea many times. Klal Yisrael is only zocha to be in the land if we watch over Hashem's Torah very carefully. And that's the whole flow of these psukim, right? You observe Shemitah, observe Yovel, observe the laws of the land. Then, v'yishavtem al ha'aretz levetach. And then, v'nas na'aretz periyah, the land will give you fruit. V'achaltem l'sov v'yishavtem levetach aleh. And you'll have security. Im nishalem es hamas hazeh, says Rav Hirsch, if we agree to pay this tax, what tax? Observing all the mitzvos while we're living in Eretz Yisrael. Kvar asinu es hakol, kedei she ha'aretz tiskayem biyadenu, v'anachnu niskayem ba'aretz. Yediyas ha'torah u'shmiras mitzvosah, hein lanu chayil v'choma. That's our main battle. Our main battle is keeping Torah mitzvos. Tzahal could only be tzahal if there's a klal Yisrael observing Torah mitzvos in Eretz Yisrael. That's the main thing that's going to keep us in the land of Israel, according to Rav Hirsch. Mada! Again, look what he says. Yediyas ha'Torah u'shmiras mitzvosah, the knowledge of Torah and keeping the mitzvos, that's our chayal v'choma, that's our madav v'umanut, that's our science and our craftsmanship. Chochmas medina v'toras kalkala. It's all of our sustenance. Umos acheros, other nations, says Rav Hirsch, menasos lashav, they try futilely lahasig bitachon medini klapei chutz, to achieve security, shigshug v'ravcha klapei parim, and success and benefit internally. Hey menasos be'elof drachem, they try 1,000 ways, v'lo sala b'yadon. Sometimes you could try for peace and security 1,000 ways, doesn't happen. V'ilo anachnu nasig zos b'kalus ulevetach ayidei shmiras ha'torah. No sein ha'torah shu adon la'artzenu, the giver of the Torah, who is the master of our land. Hu gam nagid u'mitzveh l'umim, v'hu ha'manhiges hitpatchut ha'teva. He's the one who also decides whether or not there's going to be bounty, natural bounty. U'kederach she'artzenu hi shelo, just like the land belongs to him. Kein gam halichos ha'amim v'ateva hein shelo. Similarly, the walking of nations in the world and the teva nature, the rules of nature belong to him also. Hu yagen al artzenu v'yafrich ha'sadosenu im nishmar v'nases chukotz v'es mishpatav. Nishmar de limud masmin. Nishmar means learning Torah. V'ayde asiya siyag la Torah. Nase ayde kim ha'mitzvos. B'chol chay yachiv ha'mishpacha v'ha'am. Oh. So again, this is something Rav Hirsch has stressed many times, that Klal Yisrael only deserves to be in Eretz Yisrael. That's what these psukim mean, right? V'asisim eschukosai v'smoshotai tishmeru v'asisim osam v'yishavtim el eretz levetach. A Jew has to know that the primary agent that guarantees a Jew's material success, again, here he's referring specifically to Eretz Yisrael, but we know the Rav Hirsch thinks that in general in life, that a life of Torah mitzvos is the primary security and achievement in life. Of course, it's true. We see bad things happen to good people also. But primarily Klal Yisrael still has to worry about the mitzvos. And he even adds one little point over here, although it's not on this pasuk, but you could have just as easily said on this pasuk. Actually, it looks like I left that piece out. Okay.
What's his comparison to other nations?
So, he says that... Right. That's true, Joel. Good point. I think he's just trying to say that other nations, when you'll ask them, what do you do for security? So they think it's all about, you know, the army, and you're right. In essence, it is. But his point is that you see that even nations put loads and loads of money in the army and it could still mess up. As opposed to us, we realize that that's for us, right? For us, that's not, that's, we. I think what he's trying to say is that we shouldn't be ensnared into the trap that other nations are, thinking that your whole security is going to come from investing all of this effort and energy, a tremendous amount. Of course, we have to invest in that also, but that's not the ikar guarantor of our security. I think that's what he means to say. Now, Rav Hirsch has literally 20 pages, and maybe all of you would have found this more enjoyable, so I should have maybe, in deference to you, but it doesn't do it for me, so you know I tend to not tell over things that don't do it for me, but he has like a 20-page... Not so much 20 pages, the 3 or 4 page analysis of ribis, the laws of interest. Again, those of you in the business world, I'm sure this might be a very interesting topic to you. It frankly wasn't that interesting to me. But I just took one little nugget out of the whole 4-page thing, which I thought was very beautiful. Mishum kach, Mosif HaKosav Le'isr Neshach V'Tarvis V'Yoresim El'Kecha, right? It's very interesting. Take a look on page 370. The Torah doesn't always say this, right? Don't take interest. And you know, interest, for those people who are heavy into the business world, most normal people who are heavy into the business world, so the laws of interest really makes absolutely no sense to most people. Because, you know, if you lend somebody money, you're helping him out, you know, you're letting him make money with your money. This is money that you could have been making money with on your own. And, you know, it makes sense that somebody would be willing to pay money to have money, to be able to make money, and they're willing to give you a percentage of that money because they used your money to make money. So it doesn't really make sense to a lot of people, the laws of interest, to businessmen. So Hirsch just gives you a little taste, a little nugget. That's why the Torah sticks in those words. That's the main reason for the prohibition of ribis. If not for the words v'yareisa me'elokecha, haya efshar lahatzdik l'kichas ribis mibchinas chevratit enoshit, you could have given a very good defense for the laws of ribis from a humanistic point of view. Ha'odah Hashem shehu elokecha. But it is just an admission to God that He's the one that gave you the money in the first place. And it's hard to always remember that. Just like the laws of Shemitah. This is theme also. Same with the laws of Shemitah. For 1 year, you can't touch your own land. You can't touch it. It's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. God gave it to you. So the other 6 years, if you realize that it's a gift that God gave to you, the other 6 years, you'll make sure to use your land in the right way to help people out with it, which is why God gave you what He gave you, to help other people out with it. And money is the same thing. Lending with interest is the same thing. Ha'odah Hashem shu'al kecha, tomich goralecha, umadrich ma'asecha. Bishma ulama'ana, Nesar alecha lakachas ribis. It is. That's why you can't take interest. And the result of that is your brother will live with you. And look how beautifully Rav Hirsch points it out in the next paragraph. Nemar kan efo. I guess I took a little more than a nugget from it, but nemar kan efo. Chaye achicha heim imcha. Look at Rav Hirsch's beautiful exegesis on this pasuk, Lamed Vav. Take a look. Al tikach me'ito neshech v'sarbis. don't take from him interest, because you have to realize that all the money that you made, that you're a big shot, that you're lending out to everybody and making money off the money, that you're helping other Jews with their businesses with your money, you see, if you really looked at every other Jew as your brother, would you charge interest to your brother who you're trying to help him out in his business? You wouldn't charge interest to your brother. He's your family. You want him to do well in his business. If he could use your money and give you back and you didn't lose anything out of the deal, yeah, you just lost the ability to make money with that money during those 5 years or 10 years that he borrowed the money from you. Look what he says so beautifully. Have Omer. Call his paschus chayav. This reminds me, you know, I'm organizing a meeting here in July of principals of every other yeshiva in the tri-state area, just informally. So I reached out to 22 principals. 18 of them agreed to come, just totally voluntarily, just to get together. And so, you know, because a lot of times in the school business, you know, we focus too much on the competition and, you know, it's in my best interest that kids in other yeshivas are doing well. I mean, if you're in the business of giving over Torah to the next generation because you want Klal Yisrael to be successful, so I want another yeshiva to be successful just as much as I want my yeshiva to be successful, because it's all about communicating Torah to the next generation. So in the same way, I should want every single Jew to be successful in business. They're all my brothers. I should want them to be successful. Right? Eina tachai rak lemancha. A Jew doesn't just live for himself. Veina taroches rak lemancha. We're not just making money for ourselves. MS, reverse as well. I'll give you a caveat. MS, it's true. Alech lidog la'atzmacha tchila. You are supposed to first worry about your own hatzlacha and parnasa. That's supposed to be your first responsibility. Yourself, your immediate family, that should be your first achrayas. Right? V'chei achicha imach, right? That's what the pasuk says. V'chei achicha imach, right? V'chai bahem v'lo shiyamas bahem. Right? So your first responsibility is yourself. Alech l'ircho she'esayim tzayim ha'machshim roscha l'mala es tafkid chayecha. Ach, this is also one of your jobs. You have to get enough and figure out how you're going to be able to help others. Your brother is tied to you in a social aspect. When you're making money, you should realize you're making money for yourself and for all the people around you who need your help. Listen to this beautiful play on words here. Chayav kshurim imcha v'chayecha. Im ze hofech escha aus eschem le'am. This im becomes an am, right? If you view yourself as with somebody else, that's what makes a nation. You should view everybody else as im, with you. If everybody else is im, if you have this perspective that everybody else is im, that's what makes an am. Im ze hofech eschem la'am. Lo kfiya komunistit. There we go. He got it in there. This is not, the Jewish way is not a forced communist sharing of all proceeds. No. It's not the kibbutz is not the ideal, where we put all of our proceeds into one pot, and it's absolutely a communist ideal. No, this is not communism. Lo kfiya komunistit, v'lo misim amutalim bidei noges basar v'adam, v'lo emas refa'im mipnei haficha aduma, ela. Hakoras hachova hamuchteves aydeiras Hashem It has to be a person recognizing his responsibility. It's optional, it's voluntary. And either despite this or because of this, dafka mishum kach, zeu kesher chazak v'nitzchi shel hadadiyut ozeret. So fascinating, Rav Hirsch. He says, and even though it's not mandatory in the strict sense of the communist sense, but it's absolutely because of this, it becomes a greater connection, something that I did willingly, something that I'm helping somebody else out because I care about him and I want to help. That's the Jewish way. It's not a forced helping. It's the fact that we are supposed to be people who want to do this, who want to give of ourselves willingly by lending without interest, by helping a guy put a guy back on his feet, by laying the Shemitah field. Well, that is more obligatory. Pure, unadulterated awe of Hashem. Wow. Very, very beautiful. Continuing on, Rav Hirsch points out that Matan Torah was that event that broke the slave mentality. And he's talked about this before as well. We're now into Parshas Bechukosai, and we're about to embark on the Pesukim that speak about the Brachos and the Klalos. So let's take a look at the culmination of the Brachos, the very last Pasuk. So the beginning of Bechukosai talks about all the blessings that happen when we keep the Torah and Mitzvahs. And the last Pasuk summarizes it on page 374. Pasuk Yud Gimel says like this. Ani Hashem Elokeichem asher hoseisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim miyos lahem avodim. Right, maybe we should back up from Yud Aleph. V'nasati mishkani b'sochechem v'losig al nafshi eschem v'salachti b'sochechem v'isi lachem le'elokim v'atemti yilulam. Ani Hashem Elokeichem asher hoseisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim miyos lahem avodim. I took you out of Egypt. Now here's one pasuk that, again, I've read many times, but I never focused on it. Never put close attention to it, being honest. Never did it. Again. So the first half of this pasuk sounds like a million other pesukim that we read every day. Right? Ani Hashem Elokeichem asher hoseisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim miyos lahem avodim. Okay? I took you out of being slaves. Va'eshbor motos ulchem. And I shall break the poles of your yoke. And I will have you walking upright. I'll have you walking upright. I think that the last scene of Schindler's List comes to mind. I will have you walking upright. You'll walk with your head held high. You'll walk upright. Oh, you'll walk upright. So let's see what Rav Hirsch has to say about this pasuk. Geulas Mitzrayim shavra es ol Mitzrayim me'aleinu. The redemption from Egypt broke the all of the Egyptian slavery, the yoke of Egyptian slavery. Ach! However, motos ha'ol adayin hayu al tzavareinu. The poles of that yoke were still on our necks. Od nasano imenu as kli avdos vaval pishish tacharanu lenetzach mul avdos Mitzrayim. Even though it's true we were freed from Egyptian slavery, efshar haya lachlif ol zeh ba'acher. It could have been very easy to substitute a different yoke with that yoke. Adayin hayu banu kol hanitunim laseis ol avdos musaris. There were still in us adayin hayu banu kol hanitunim all of the possibilities, losses ol avdus musaris, to carry an ol avdus, we could have still had a moral yoke, chevratis, social, medinis, national, b'makom ol Mitzrayim. We could have had a different yoke in place of the Egyptian yoke. Rak matan Torah shavar gamis motos ol. Even only Matan Torah is what broke forever the poles of the yoke so that no other yoke could ever land on the Jewish people. And this is an idea that Rav Hirsch and Rav Soloveitchik also, I love to quote this from Rav Soloveitchik all the time, about what true freedom is for the Jew. What unfortunately so many youngsters and teenagers view as a heavy load, a yoke. They view Judaism as this weighty, horrible burden that they have to take with them through their whole lives. Rav Hirsch says, that's not what Judaism. Judaism is the most liberating and freeing thing for a person. We're liberated from peer pressure. We're liberating from the challenges of gaiva and gashmius and being slaves to the rat race of the world, just trying to get more money and more money and more pleasure and more pleasure. Yiddishkeit is freeing. It frees you from the Yetzer Hara. It frees you from having to follow the Joneses and keeping up with the Joneses. You only have to answer to one authority, to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's the greatest freeing of man. Va'eshbor motos ulchem. I will break the poles of your yoke so that you're not going to be a yoke to anything. You can never be a slave when you're a yid.
Rabbi, he gets this from a metaphor in the word poles.
Yes. Let me explain. He says because the poles are that which hold up the yoke. So if I just broke the yoke, so the Egyptian yoke could have been placed by a different yoke, and we could have been slaves to a different master, whether it be a moral master, a social master, a national master. But by breaking the poles, he says, Natan Torah not only broke the yoke, it broke the poles that hold the yoke, so that there is no possibility of having any yoke anymore. That's the idea. That's the imagery. Rak Matan Torah Shavar Gamas Motos Ol. It didn't just break the yoke, it broke the poles that uphold the yoke. Ba'osa Shah Zakav Hashem is Komaseinu Lanetzach. At that time, Hashem built up our stature forever. V'henik Lanu Atzma'ut V'cheirut. And God gave us independence and freedom. Hu nasan lanu lefachos es ha-hanhoga v'ha-hadracha l'aleches kom miyus b'akol u'keneged akol. We will never have to cower in front of another master. Even when we physically had to cower in front of other masters, our spirit could never be broken as an upstanding, strong, headstrong people. Kom miyus. That's the whole goal of mitzvahs. Komemius. Kome means standing strong, standing tall, standing upright. A Jew who has his Yiddishkeit, it could be the Nazis, Yemach Shemam, could try to, you know, lower us and degrade us. But a Jew who has his Yiddishkeit, he's always, his spirit is always standing up strong. Zachinu ba'atzmaut uvegeyot mul kochot hachushaniyot va'ateva mul kol koach chevrati umedini. Now, in the last few minutes that I have, Rav Hirsch basically, in the last few pieces here, stresses two themes, which unfortunately I don't have the time to really fully develop, so I'm going to try and do it as best as I can. Rav Hirsch, in understanding why all the curses befall the Jewish people, takes upon himself, he takes his cue from Rashi and from Chazal, that basically, if you look at the beginning of the Tochacha, it's a step-by-step process. And we should realize, right, there's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos that says, mitzvah goreres mitzvah, and avera goreres avera. And he says, when you see people losing their Yiddishkeit and losing their connection to Yiddishkeit, it's a step-by-step process. And I think it's important for us to think about, it's a step-by-step process. First you get a little bit, and then you get a little bit more, and then you get a little bit worse, and then you get a little bit farther away. And there's this idea called avera goreres avera, that one little bad decision oftentimes brings you lower and causes more bad. You got to like just stop the slide. You got to figure out a way to just take a hold and stop the slide. And it's often not easy to do. Okay, so I'll try to just give you the let's just read the psukim a little bit. V'imlo sishmauli. You won't listen to me. It starts off with lo sishmauli, which Rav Hirsch understands, stopping to learn Torah. And I think Rashi understands that as well. Yeah, Rashi says that. Lios ha-meilim b'Torah. It starts with not learning Torah, in many cases. Not always, but it starts with not learning Torah. Lo sishmuli. V'lo sasu is called mitzvos ha'ela. And then in b'chukosai, and then it's lo sasu ha-mitzvos. First it's not learning Torah, then it's not doing mitzvos. Then b'chukosai timasu. Then it's not enough that you stop learning and stop doing. That's not enough. With most people, you can't just, people aren't just content to like, sit there and just not do. Okay, I'm not going to do. No. You're not content with you not doing and other people doing. You have to start to make fun of it. Because in order for you to justify your own position, it's got to be that everybody else is crazy. It becomes disgusting to you. Gaal means disgust. Levilti asos, and then it's lahafrechem as brisi. Then you become a kofer beikar, to reject the bris. Afaniyah says os lachem, etc., etc. So I'll just try to give you the highlights from Rav Hirsch here. You're going to have to do most of this for homework. I hatsiyus, the lack of listening, kvar mitu'ar b'mamar samach v'lo sasu. It says already lo sasu in the next phrase. So what's not listening to me? Mistavrefo, it starts off with a lack of knowledge, a lack of study of Torah, a lack of knowledge. Lo rav la lechem, v'lo sav la mayim kim lishmoa, as divrei Hashem. V'kach pirsha gam haTorah kanim kan lefizeh. Ah, that's Chazal. Chazal said that way. Lefizeh, Torah's Konim is the Medrash, Chazal in the Medrash. Lefizeh, Totzah Shalachit Ayoni Abigida Masis Lo Sasu. The result of not learning is not doing. Kol She'en Lomed Eino Osa. Vimuchuzai Timasu, Habigida Magia Lishlav Chadash. There's a new level. Misha Chada Lahaki Lahavin, Umisha Panalim Oref, Adayin Yashim Is Atzmo, Uvritzon Litzdadik. He needs to become righteous. Uyagos has a lezalzel b'shmir samitzus. And then people, they start making fun of shmir samitzus. And then they're mezalzel in the rabbis. Right? Etc. Let's turn the page. Levilti asos. Habigia magia l'shlav chadash gets to a new shlav. Ad korak isnakru l'torah b'chayeim. Zilzlu b'mekaimel. You just, and v'sinus chachamel. But they don't stop there. They become kanoim, rodfim, kol makom shemotzim is damnos lekach. Look at the next paragraph. It doesn't stop there. Adayin yishlas is atzada achon lahafrechem es brisi. You become a koifer be'ikr, total rejecter of everything. Ah. So I think the lesson for us is, it's a step-by-step process, and we have to be very careful and to try to freeze it. You got to try to freeze the downward spiral, freeze it, just to try to realize it's step by step by step, and it's very, very difficult, and we have to be careful. Even small negative steps can sometimes lead to much greater falls, and that's what ends up being the tochacha for Am Yisrael. So it's very, very important to be cognizant of this. Sometimes we'll say, it's just a little thing, you know, sometimes you have to lose the battle to win the war. Sometimes you have to lose that. But you have to be very careful to allow certain steps that unfortunately can lead to much worse. But on the positive side, in the very last piece, which you see is very, very long, so I can't read it inside, what I'm going to try to do is to summarize it for you outside. Rav Hirsch here is speaking about v'zacharti yisbrisi. There's one pasuk in the Tochacha. There's one pasuk that's a big comfort. It's a big comfort. There's like one pasuk of comfort in the middle of all these psukim of horror. Exactly. Thank you. And what's that pasuk? V'zacharti esprisi Yaakov, v'af esprisi Yitzchak, v'af esprisi Avraham. Is that the way it goes or the other way? Or is Avram then Yitzchak? I got it right? V'zacharti esprisi Yaakov, v'af esprisi Yitzchak, v'af esprisi Avraham eskar, v'ha'aretz eskar. That is in Pasuk. Membeis, thank you. So Rav Hirsch is bothered by two things, Herbie. Three things, actually. And I'm not going to do justice here, but first of all, it's very funny, and I never noticed. The Zachariah is Brisi Yaakov. The Bris Yaakov. It should have said, my Bris with Yaakov. The Zachariah is Brisi Yaakov. Brisi Yitzchak. My Bris Yaakov, my Bris Yitzchak, and my Bris Avram. That's one kasha. Second kasha, why backwards? Third kasha, it sounds like it's Brisi Yaakov, v'af is Brisi Yitzchak. It's all Bris Yaakov, but included in the Bris Yaakov is also Bris Yitzchak and also Bris Avram. They're somehow rolled into the Bris Yaakov. So let me just, in the very short version, give you a little bit, but you can really have to read this for homework yourself. Maybe I'll read it in the English. It'll be the easiest to get the idea across in the shortest amount of time. It says like this. We have a tradition that Avram instituted Shachris, Yitzchak Mincha, and Yaakov Night, Mariv. Correspondingly, the lot in life of each of these Avos accorded with one of those three times of day. Avram's lot was illuminated with brightness. Although he stood alone against all of mankind and called them to Hashem, nevertheless, they were not envious of him, they did not hate him. On the contrary, he was honored as a Nasi Elokim. Yitzchak's lot was clad with declining light. Isolated on his path, he was envied for the blessings he received, and he was forced to seclude himself in his household. Night fell on Yaakov. Many were the shadows of his life. His whole life was a chain of trials and tribulations. So first of all, this itself is beautiful to me. Avram was misaking Shachris because Avram was the one who figured out the way to God in the bright light of the day. Yitzchak was misaking Mincha because Yitzchak was the one who showed you how to find God as the light was declining, because he already had darkness beginning. Yaakov was Misakin Mariv because Yaakov's whole life was one long Mariv, pretty much. As he says to Paro, at the end, Yaakov's whole life, he's the one who figured out how to discover God even through the darkness and blackness of life. To me, that itself is a beautiful and tremendous insight. But Rav Hirsch goes much further. And yet, all three of our Avos, all three are bearers of God's covenant. There's a Bris Yaakov, a Bris Yitzchak, and a Bris Avram. It doesn't mean the Bris with Avram, the person. It means the covenant that God has with us through bright times, through shadowy times, and through dark times. God has a covenant with us, a Bris Yaakov, a Bris Yitzchak, and a Bris Avram. That's the Bris. It doesn't mean the Bris with Avram. It means the Bris of that type of relationship.
Is it one Bris or three Bris?
It's one that's three. Barry, it's one that's three. It's one Bris. It's a Bris Yaakov. It's the Bris of Golas. It's the Bris of Golas that has three parts to it and three stages to it. And that's where he tries. That's where he gets into the details. You're going to have to do it for homework. He says, their destiny too. I'm already out of time. Their destiny will involve change in fortune, as did the destiny of their fathers. Yet through all the changes and turns, they will be the object of Hashem's special providence. Like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the people of Israel will walk among the nations. They will always remain faithful to Hashem's bris, whether their fate be the fate of Avram, the fate of Yitzchak, or the fate of Yaakov. However, the three promises are written in reverse order. Yaakov is first. What does this mean? This can be explained in light of the preceding verses. With the beginning of the Golas, the members of the covenant Avram enter into the Jacob destiny. The beginning of the Golas, we were in Yaakov. But the second half of Pasuk Mem Aleph posits that the second possibility for the future comes to pass. They perceive the Golas with all its bitterness as Ritzi Avonim. They take solace and satisfaction in the fact that the debt of their past is atoned for and erased. And they fulfill the task of Golas purposefully. They move into a Yitzchak. Then, V'zachar Yitzchak Yaakov, I will be with them through all the long, long nights of their Golas. I will transform even the darkest night into a shining revelation of divine guidance, etc. And when the measure of their suffering is full, when they have inscribed the law to the Torah with their heart's blood upon the pages of world history, then va'afas b'si Yitzchak, they will not have suffered and bled in vain. The example they set in light in the spirit of the nations, making them gentler. And with the breaking of dawn in the skies of the nations, the dark midnight of Israel's gullus also passes. The exiles begin to breathe freely again and to thrive on soil. During the Jacob period, they had to endure hatred. Now, they will suffer envy. The second lesson of gullus. They will employ their resources ampler, less restricted, and perfect. When they have passed the second test and fulfilled the Torah, even in the midst of prosperity, then va'afas b'si Avram eskor. The sun that shone upon Abraham will shine upon them even in exile. Like Avram, they will build altars to Hashem and His Torah in the midst of other nations. Like Avram, they will observe the Torah which has been entrusted to them for the salvation of all mankind. They will actualize the full goodness and truth of Torah in the midst of many peoples. Ultimately, the nations will tolerate and respect Israel. Not even though they are the people of God, but because they are the people of the God of Abraham. Because they know and observe God's Torah, which brings salvation to mankind, etc. Thus they will overcome the stumbling blocks posed by the envy of the nations. By their favor, by their example, they will not become arrogant, even in times of good fortune. The Haaretz Eskar, etc. We see then that Bris Yaakov, Bris Yitzchak, and Bris Avram are the three stages in which they are to perform their task in Gullus. When they have gone through these three stages, their sin will be atoned for, and at the same time, they will be ready to return forever to the land of their independence. So again, I didn't do it justice. It requires more time, but hopefully, Rabosai, we could endure this gullus. I don't know, maybe now, he says, we're probably, after the Medina, we're probably now in Yitzchak time. We're in Yitzchak time now. Hoping soon to get to that Avram time. May that day come. Imherev Yavino, Amen, Amen. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you so much for coming and being part of it. Next Friday, there is Shir. Next Friday, there is Shir, Bez Hashem.